How you guys doing? Tonight we're going to talk about pursuing Sophia. You say, who is Sophia? You're about to find out. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia, although it's pronounced Sophio, but it's spelled Sophia. All right? And there is a great need for wisdom in the world today. Because of a lack of wisdom, many lives are being destroyed, both young and old. This world is a mess as a result of a lack of wisdom. And I hope you're enjoying as we're doing this together this month. I hear a lot of silences. And that is telling me that some of you have not even started reading yet. And today is December 6th. Okay? You got 6 chapters to catch up on. I want us to do this together this month. Amen? Amen. That was not a suggestion on Sunday. In addition to whatever it is you're reading in your Bible, I want us to do this together. Just read one chapter a day. And by December 31st, we would have gone through the entire book. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you, I'm having a blast looking at this stuff. You know, I've read Proverbs through so many times, and it's always amazing to me. You know, I'm seeing stuff in there, I'm going, really? And doing double takes and going back and reading stuff all over again. And I hope it's the same way for you too. And so tonight, this is what we're going to be talking about. Because really, these are our assignment for the month of December. So go ahead, I've been turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. How many of you remember the movie The Color Purple? Obviously, one of the characters in there was Harpo. And he was married to Sophia. And I remember that scene where I don't even know what she was doing. Or she came in and Harpo goes, ooh, Sophia, Sophia, Sophia. Some of you are going, what is that? You need to go watch it. That movie is about what, 30 years old now?
No.
Oh yeah, it's been that long. It's been that long. Just listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15, you don't have to turn there. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Our lives on this earth, brothers and sisters, is very short. And we cannot afford to waste our lives away. And one of the things I love about the Proverbs is that they're very short. They're very succinct. And you remember them. They're more than just words on a page. They're little gems of insight and wisdom that's going to help us as we go through this life. It was obviously written by Solomon. Again, you know the story. Because of time, we're not going to go through it. When he became king, God asked him, ask me for whatever you want, and I will do it for you. And his response was, how can I take care of all these people that you've put under me? Give me wisdom. Give me insight to be able to take care of your people. And God says, wow. That's my paraphrase. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the death of your enemies. As a matter of fact, you're asking for wisdom. That's good. I'm going to give you so much wisdom that nobody else will be as wise as you. And most of the Proverbs was written by Solomon. Chapters 30 and 32 were written by two other people. Okay? So he didn't write everything. So Proverbs 31 was not written by Solomon. Okay, and you can understand why. Okay? But most of it, like I said, was written by Solomon. The Proverbs are very practical, they're very striking, and they're truly words to live by. Now he said, what's the definition of wisdom? It is defined as being broad and full of intelligence. Someone else says, well, wisdom is the varied knowledge of things human and divine. Another person defines it as the knowledge and practice of godly and upright living. In the 20th century Encyclopedia of Religious Studies, it says, wisdom is a realistic approach to the problems of life. And so the whole point is, Proverbs applies to life. And the thing I like about them, for me personally, is because they're very practical. I like scriptures that tell me what to do. And say, you know what, go through this door and not this one. I love scriptures like that. And that's one of the things I love about the Proverbs. Now the challenge, I think a lot of times is, even right now, we're still in chapter, today is 6. We want to get to chapter 10 very quickly. Because that's where you start seeing all the little Proverbs. All the little sayings. But believe it or not, the first 9 chapters is setting up the rest of the book. And that's why I'm asking us to go through it day by day. So don't skip the first 9 chapters and say, well, I can't wait to get to, you know, tell me the real stuff. Believe it or not, chapters 1 to 9 are like the foundation. Talking about what wisdom is and how valuable it is. For instance, you may be tempted to cheat or to lie or to, you know, do some kind of shady thing. Thinking that, well, nobody's looking, you know, nobody's going to notice. And then you remember a proverb, for instance, in chapter 10, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. You can just write it down. You will see it in a few days. In Proverbs 10, verse 9, I did it again. I wrote down the wrong, I got it. I thought I wrote down the wrong reference. It says, the man of integrity walks securely. But he who takes crooked paths will be found out. I'll read again. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. You know, it's good to remember someone like that in the back of your mind. Because the temptation will come. Even as Christians, for you to lie, for you to, you know, take shortcuts. And you remember a verse like that, say, you know what? One day this is going to come out. Let me not go there. Because it is going to come out. Are you with me? There are people, as we're sitting here tonight, who've done all kinds of shady business deals, and they're living life high and large. They think they're getting away with it. Nobody's going to get away with anything. Okay? They are going to be found out. And it's not going to be pretty. So that's an example of how, as we go through this life and as we encounter different things, the Proverbs helps us in terms of how we need to react or not react in a certain situation. Are you with me? I was talking to a brother. Actually, a brother was talking to me a few weeks ago as we were talking about grace and offering grace to other people. And he came up and he said, you know, thank you so much for that message. He goes, you're not going to believe, even today, one of my co-workers was just cursing me out, right to my face. And he stayed calm. He didn't react. He didn't retaliate. He didn't start raising his voice either. You know, because one of the Proverbs talks about, I believe it's Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You see, it's during moments like that, you know, stuff like that comes back into your memory. And you know how to respond and you know how to react. Are you listening to me? Amen. Wisdom is that insight that helps us decide what is the best thing to do. Amen? Amen. Like I said, the first 9 chapters talked about the value of wisdom, the value of Sophia. Basically telling us wisdom is of great value. And we're going to start reading the second. In the first 9 chapters, we're going to find very quickly that wisdom allows us to live a prosperous life. Wisdom helps us against many pitfalls in life. There are several pitfalls that are mentioned in the Proverbs. One is evil companionship. It talks about that over and over again in different places. And we're going to read some just now. Obviously, it talks about the immoral woman or the adulteress. As a matter of fact, it starts off by talking about that big time. Proverbs talks about laziness. I think that's why some people don't like to go read it who are lazy. Because it will hit you right in your face. Now, obviously, wisdom comes from 3 sources. Number one, obviously, wisdom comes from God. Okay? Also, wisdom comes from personal experience. In other words, through trial and error. And also, number 3, wisdom comes from the counsel of other people. You know, one of the things I love about Proverbs and about, again, being a part of God's church is that I don't have to make the same mistakes that other people have made. I'm able to sit down with somebody. I'm able to gain and glean from the experience of other people. That I don't have to make all the errors. Some other people have made the errors. And it's wise of me to go listen and so that I don't make the same mistakes. Now, you're free to go do it yourself. The way they did it. But I promise you, you're going to get the same result. And that's why it's so important that we listen and learn from the experiences of other people. The Proverbs helps us in that area. Okay? So let's begin reading. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise man listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, he starts talking about bad company right here. If sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. And whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in the full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice, this is Sophia talking now, and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill him, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. We'll stop there for now. Oops, hang on. Larry, okay, here we go. What's the purpose of the Proverbs? Tells us for attaining wisdom. Right there in chapter 1, verse 2. It tells us for attaining discipline. The same root word where the word disciple comes from, by the way. Understanding words of insight. For acquiring a disciplined and a prudent life. Making wise the simple, verse 4. And also helping the wise to get wiser. To me, that's cool. That, you know what, if you don't know much, wisdom is going to really help you to know a whole lot. And if you're already wise, wisdom will also help you to become more wise. Are you with me? And, you know, those are the purpose of the Proverbs. That's why they're dead. Again, remember who's talking here. This is the wisest man that ever lived. Now, you may be sitting there going, well, Solomon blew it. There were a lot of things that we read about that, you know, how he messed up with all his wives and all that kind of stuff. I believe those things are written down so that you and I do not make the same mistake. Amen? Amen. Now, we don't have his wealth. We don't have his wisdom. But we can learn from his mistakes. Amen? Amen. But these things are written down for a reason. And then it starts telling us in terms of what the fear of the Lord is. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. In other words, if you are not listening to God, the Bible says you're a fool. You're engaging in folly. All right? Now, we don't like to look ourselves that way. The Bible says, if I'm not listening to God, if I'm not following God's instructions, I'm a fool. If you are not doing that, you're a fool also. So, you know, it's wise to listen to what God is saying. Are you with me? You know, what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is where you and I, we stand in awe of God. He's not human like us. He's the greatest authority in the universe. The God who calls things that are not as though they were. The God who created this world out of nothing. There needs to be reverence. There needs to be awe. God ain't your grandpa. I think sometimes in the West, we try and treat God that way. As if God is just this nice guy in the sky. He's not. The Bible says he's a consuming fire. I mean, if you look at the largest source of energy in our universe, which is the sun, you can get close to that thing without getting burnt. Imagine the person that created that out of nothing. Do you really understand how powerful he is? And to realize that one day, every single one of us will stand before him and give an account. The Bible tells us that we are going to be trembling. Again, I've said this before, you know, I don't like thunder. I don't like lightning. I jump every time I hear one of those things. And I start praying. I really do. I just don't like it. Again, can you imagine the person behind all that? And when I shiver, you know, when I hear thunder. And that's why God is not meant to be messed with. You can mess with other human beings, but you don't mess with the Lord. Because he's the Almighty. There needs to be reverence there. There needs to be awe. We need to give God his proper respect. Amen? Amen. We've brought this up in some other way, but I'll bring it up again. You know, we just heard, okay, this Sunday we're back at the theater, and I'm asking everybody to get there at 9:30. I mean 9:30. There should never be a week where any of us comes to church late. Because we're coming before the Almighty God. That is what I'm thinking. That's why I go to bed early on Saturday night. And I get up when I'm meant to get up. Because I don't want to be late. I think it's an insult to the Almighty. Because you will not keep your boss waiting. I think we need to stop treating God with contempt. You know, I've even had people say, well, this is the way we are in our church. You know, it's been like this for decades and forever. This is just the way we are. I think it's wrong. It's sin. And we need to repent of it. Amen?
Amen.
You know how long it takes to get the kids ready? So, you get up a little earlier. Oh, the kids are cranky. Then get them into bed early on Saturday night. We know what we need to do. Amen? Again, I'm using that as an example. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen?
Amen?
That's why it's so important. That's why, again, when we come in, we start singing or we're praying. Don't be talking to me. Don't be telling me what happened to you yesterday. I'm not interested. I did not come to church to hear that. Now, I will listen to that after church is over. But don't be talking to me when I'm trying to sing and worship God. Amen?
Amen?
That needs to be our mindset. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hebrews 12:28 talks about how God is a consuming fire. Matthew 10:28 talks about we must fear God and not man. And how the fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 10:27, will prolong our lives. Amen?
Amen?
The fear of the Lord will cause us to hate evil, in Proverbs 8, verse 13. That's what it talks about. But all these things are in the scriptures for a reason. Amen?
Amen,
amen church?
Amen.
Do you feel me? Again, if Sunday morning you're running, I don't want to be late. Richard's going to be in the back looking at me. You missed it. I'm serious. You totally missed it. It's not about me. Never will be. It's about God. Now, I happen to be one of his messengers. And so I will keep on relaying the message over and over and over and over again. Okay, something happened out of the ordinary and you're late. Just come in quietly and take your seat. Again, you can't come in, church has started, and you come, hey, bro, how you doing? Hi, it's good to see you. Hello, hello. Sit down and be quiet. We're laughing, we do it. It's driving me nuts. Okay, you're late, fine, just come in and take your seat quietly. Amen? Remember what you're there to do. It's to worship the creator of the universe. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen church?
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
Let's keep going. The way of fools. If we're not obeying God, if we're not following God's instruction, the Bible says we're a fool. That's scripture. Okay, I didn't make that up. If we're listening to wisdom, if we're listening to God, then we're wise. If we're not, we're fools. We just read it. Fools don't listen to God or follow him. You know, those are the references right there. Proverbs 1:22, you'll see it again. It's all over the place. 17, 16, eventually on the 18th, you'll see it again in Proverbs 18:2. Okay? Fools are not interested in wisdom. They're not. But they're going to pay a price for that. All right? Fools don't listen to anyone but themselves. That's why they're fools. They're wise in their own eyes. They think they know it. They think they figured it all out. Nothing could be farthest from the truth. You know, ask yourself. The Bible talks a lot about correction. The Bible talks a lot about, Proverbs talks a lot about correction. Proverbs talks a lot about seeking advice. When you think you know it, and well, I'm not going to seek any advice about this. I'm not going to ask any questions. The Bible says you're a fool. Okay, let me pick on, I won't call it pick. Let me talk to those of us that are single for a second. Okay, it always amazes me. All right, this is me talking, and I'm being very honest with you. It always amazes me when, you know, single brothers and sisters, you know, they're thinking of doing different things, and you know, pertaining to their lives, and usually towards, you know, whether getting married or beginning a relationship or something to that effect. And it's always amusing to me, you know, at some point, okay, I'm talking to this person. And they'll say, well, yeah, I'm thinking of doing this and, you know, this. And I've sought about advice about this and here's what I'm thinking of doing. My question always is, who gave you that advice? Because advice is only as good as where it comes from. You don't go seek plumbing advice from a carpenter. Now, you could, but it's not going to do you very good, a lot. But it's always amazing to me where, you know, I'll ask, so who gave you that advice? Is another single brother or another single sister? And I'm like, if they knew, if they had the answers, how come they're still single? Oh, yeah, you have a point there. You need to be talking to married men and women because they figured something out. Are you listening to me? Again, I use that as an example. So it's not just, well, I sought advice. Because sometimes I really do believe that we go seek advice from people who are going to tell us what we want to hear. But if you're going to seek advice from the proper people. All right? I don't know anything about computers. I don't. Okay? You know, I'm one of those dummies. I mean, I know how to use one. I know how to do certain things. There are a few things I figured out on my own. You know, there's stuff that my computer does that it's like, oh, that's what that thing is for. That's how you do that. Now, what happens when my computer breaks down? I don't just call anybody. I call people that know stuff about computers. Amen?
Amen.
The same thing with my car. When my car breaks down, I don't call the brother dealing with computers. He doesn't even know where the radiator is. I go talk to a brother who knows something about cars and engines. Are you listening to me? But you see, the Bible talks a lot about seeking input, about loving correction. You're going to see that in the next few days. And they're very convicting. It actually says, you know what? If you hate correction, you're stupid. That's as blunt as it gets. You think I'm blunt? God is very blunt. He actually uses the word that, you know, if you and I do not love, he doesn't say not take correction. He says if we don't love correction, we're stupid. But see, all these things are written down so that we can put them into practice in our daily lives. Because if we're not, then the Bible says we're just a bunch of fools. We're just listening to ourselves. We're not learning anything. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be a wise man. Amen? Amen? I know you don't want to be a fool either. You want to be a wise person. Let's keep going. Okay? The kids are not here. But they're gonna talk about this on Sunday. In their class. The teens. In verses 8 and 9. He says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. In other words, when kids listen to their parents, it's as if they're wearing fine jewelry. That's what he's saying here. But they're going to learn about this on Sunday. Because some kids feel, you know what, they know more than their parents. I kind of smile because I know where they get it. I used to feel that way when I was younger. There are just some things I'm like, you know what? On this one, man, I got this one down, man. My mom doesn't know what she's talking about. Maybe you did also. But it's very important that we listen to our parents according to the scriptures. Our parents, obviously, they have knowledge and know better than us. I know some of them don't believe that. You know, I tell my kids, you know what? I am a whole lot more intelligent than you. Look at the 3 degrees, the 3 diplomas. I have them on the wall to prove it. I know what I'm talking about. When they try and give me that, well, we're just going to do this our way. Like, you're not hearing me. Why is that? Because I've been through life. You and I, we've made some mistakes. We know what works and what doesn't work. And we have the scars to prove it. And it's our job. That's part of our duty as parents to train these kids. You cannot be a permissive parent. You're setting these kids up for failure in life. You know, believe it or not, we know our kids better than anybody else. We can't leave that, the job of parenting, to the teachers. That's not their job. The teachers are designed and meant to teach our kids the material. That's their job. But you see, a lot of kids are not being disciplined at home. Nobody talks to them. And they expect the school system to do it. That's what's going on in our society. But that's our job as parents. Amen?
Amen.
It's a huge task. It's a huge undertaking. But prayerfully, as we're doing it and seeking input and helping our kids, one day when they grow up, they're going to be able to stand on their own 2 feet. I mean, I know for myself, throughout my entire life, my mother raised me, and she would have talks with me as we're driving and as we're at home and doing different things. And I still remember them to this day. Because she will always say to me, she says, Richard, I am not going to be on this earth forever. One day I will be gone. And I want you to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. Guess what? I do the same thing with my girls. I'm always talking to them about the fact that, you know what? I am not going to be on this earth forever. You need to listen to what I'm saying to you. You need to do this way. Very, very important. Because it is through us that they're going to learn these things. Are you with me? Parenting is a hard job. It really is. It's not for the faint-hearted. Amen? And our prayer and our goal is to raise up these kids to know God and to love God so that they can marry godly men and women. And so that one day, they too will be able to spend eternity with God. And all our grandkids will be able to spend eternity with God. And all those generations and descendants of ours that's going to come that we don't even know anything about. That's what's at stake here. You say, well, you see, my father was not a Christian. And so, okay, fine. But you are. Has it ever occurred to you that God has brought you into his kingdom to break that cycle? Very, very important. I was telling somebody the other day, again, like I said, my mother raised me, and I can count on one hand the times my father drove me to school that I can recall. And after becoming a Christian, one of the things I said was, you know what? First of all, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not marrying a second wife or, you know, whatever. Again, that's okay in my culture. But I'm going to raise my kids. And every single morning, I drive them to school. We pray. We talk. And my wife goes and picks them up. My youngest one has a year and a half left in high school. And I've been doing that since the first day of kindergarten, when they were 2 years old. I couldn't say that with my dad. When I'm gone, they are going to remember that. Prayerfully, they're going to raise their own kids that way. And believe me, the school is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, there's a shortcut from our subdivision to their high school that they can take. But I get out of bed. They come wake me up. All right? I don't wake myself up because I stay up very late, till 2, 3 o'clock sometimes. So 7 o'clock, she, Dad, I'm ready. Okay. And I get up. It's part of parenting. Amen? And so I'm encouraging us. You can't outsource that to the school system or to some life coach. You know them better than anybody else. You know, some, you know, these days, you know, people say, oh, yeah, I got a life coach. You are their life coach. I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, these guys are charging money to tell them to be disciplined and to do it. It's like, what have you and I been saying for years? And we're not even getting paid. But parenting is tough. But if you hang in there, if you stay with it, believe me, they will listen. It will resonate. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it will. Especially as Christian parents. That's the incredible privilege we have. Amen? Amen? And we can't say, well, my father didn't raise me this way, or my mother was not a Christian. And, you do. You know better. I know better. Very, very important. Christian parents give the best counsel because they know you better than anybody else. I mean, they live in your house. You see them at their worst and at their best. It's not some teacher that spends a few hours with them, or some life coach, or some football coach. That ain't it. Amen? And obviously, again, as parents, we've walked that path already. And so we're able to help them. Amen? I'm just going to be open here. I'll never forget. I was in high school when, you know, the hormones kick in and you're all of a sudden you discover that, man, the opposite sex exists, and you're chasing them all over the place. And I'll never forget one time. My mom sat me down. And it wasn't really, quote-unquote, the talk, but she was just basically saying, you know what? If you go get some girl pregnant, I will kill you. Do you hear me? She said, the only thing we've got is our name. Don't you dare go mess it up. And I'm telling you, it stuck with me. I never forgot it. I never forgot it. In my culture, if you go get a girl pregnant, they're going to throw you out of school. You are out. You'll be expelled. They will announce it, that, you know, so-and-so got so-and-so pregnant, and you are gone. I mean, it's terrible. The same thing with the girl. And so usually what happens is, you know, obviously you're expelled, and, you know, the girl goes off, has the baby, and then goes and rejoins another school. But I'll never forget my mother sitting me down, and I'm glad she did. Because she said, look around. See all these guys that have had kids out of wedlock. Look at their lives. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Hey, you feel me? I say, yeah, I do. I said, now don't try me. Yes, ma'am. And I'll never forget, you know, getting on that plane, coming over to America to go to college. You know, she talked her way into the airport, and she walked me literally to the entrance of the aircraft. at the end of the jetway. I don't know how she did it. And she looked at me, and she reminded me, never forget the son of who you are. She said it in my native language. But that's what it translates to in English. Never forget the son of who you are. And I got on that plane. And I remembered all the things she had taught me. And it kept me out of trouble. It really did. Even all my friends, quote unquote, in college. Yeah, they got their diplomas, but a lot of them, their lives are messed up. Some of them started having kids out of wedlock. Some of them started getting married to Americans so they could stay here. I'm like, my mother raised me better. I'm not marrying somebody so I can just stay in this country. Forget it. It's not happening. He said, you're a fool. I said, fine. We're going to find out who's a fool. All those guys today, their lives are absolute mess. Every single one of them. But it was all about listening to the counsel of my mom. And so I say all that to say, brothers and sisters, we play a crucial role. Amen?
Amen.
We play a critical role. God has given us our children. And it's a huge responsibility. It really is. And we got to do it well and take it very seriously. Especially those of us that are men. God is calling us to be a certain kind of man. To be a father. It's hard. Amen? Our wives are not meant to be playing that role. We are. Very, very important. Bad company corrupts. Again, you're going to see this all over the Proverbs. Talks about don't be enticed by bad company. Choose your friends carefully. You will pay a price for hanging out with the wrong people. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but you will. Like I like to say, you can take that to the bank. You hang out with the wrong people, you're going to get burnt. It will come back to haunt you. Stay away from bad friends. Again, it tells us that again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. Okay? But you're going to see that thing throughout the Proverbs. Amen? We'll keep going. Okay, here are some striking verses. In chapter 2, verse 19, talking about the adulteress, he wraps up this section by saying, in verse 18, he says, for her house leads down to death, talking about the adulteress, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. I don't know about you. Man, that hits me like a ton of bricks. It says none. If you go to the adulteress or to the immoral woman, you will not even return. It's like you bought a one-way ticket to disaster. I mean, this is very striking language. He's trying to shock us. He's trying to get us to wake up. He says, or attain the path. It's not possible. Another one I like, again, these are just stuff we've already read, except for the Proverbs 7 one. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 28. I love this one. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow. When you now have it with you. I'm sorry. It's talking about helping other people. Are you a generous person? Do you obey this passage? It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. He said, oh, Richard, I don't have a lot. Yes, you do. We are the richest people on the face of the earth. Living in America. We have so much. And don't get me wrong, America is the most generous country on earth. All right? And I praise God for that. But I believe Those of us that are Christians need to be the most generous people on the face of the earth. You say, I don't have much. Precisely. Put in your two small copper coins. Heaven sees it. Heaven will reward you. But again, these proverbs are in the scriptures for a reason. Another one I like is in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. These are some that just struck me. It says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Watch this. Esteem her. Esteem wisdom. And she will exalt you. Embrace her. And she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head. And present you with a crown of splendor. Oh, that's beautiful language. Oh, I love it. See, when you and I embrace wisdom, when you and I pursue Sophia, she will exalt you, it says. She will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head. What is that? I don't know, but it sounds awesome. I don't know everything. I can't break that down for you. But I want to attain it. It's one of those things I will understand it when I see it. Does that make sense? And present you with a crown of splendor. That's what wisdom does. That's what the Bible says we need to go after. We need to chase after. That's not wisdom calling you. Turn that phone off. In chapter 5, verses 18 to 14, it talks about the consequence of adultery. It says, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spawned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. If I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Listen to the regret. If you're dating a non-Christian, if you're lusting after worldly women, if worldly men are coming unto you and you are not saying, hey, keep your distance. The Bible says this is where you are headed. I don't know about you. This stuff is very scary. And I've been around in the kingdom almost 30 years. And I can give you examples and names of people that have ruined their lives because they would not listen to simple verses like this. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. In Proverbs chapter 6, there are more warnings on adultery. I'm not going to read that. Enough said about adultery and immorality. Look in Proverbs chapter 6, talking about laziness. I like this one. Proverbs 6, beginning verse 6, says, go to the ant, we're almost done. You sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding on the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. I love the language. Oh, let me just take a break. Let me just. I'm tired, you know. Well, let me just take it easy. Wisdom says poverty will descend on you like a bandit. It doesn't say you'll be broke. It says poverty. There's a difference between being broke and living in poverty. Being broke is okay. There's no more money in your pocket, but you know the next paycheck is coming. That's what laziness does. This world is run by tired. It's always amazing to me, you watch biographies of people or you read their stories. There isn't a man or woman. Yeah, some of them may have made their money through illegal means, who did not sweat for everything they accomplished. You say, oh, Mr. Richard, how about these guys who developed video games? Do you know how many hours he did? He put in behind that thing? Now, you know, the guy gets up and he's in shorts and, you know, he's doing his stuff and you think, and he's now a multimillionaire because he sold his stuff. And you think, oh yeah, that's what I want to do in life. Really? You better go get a job. You better start working hard. All the dot-coms, they've done gone. There are no quick, easy ways to make money. It's hard work. Amen? That's why, again, this Proverbs talks a lot about laziness. At the end of the day, you'll have yourself to blame. And you're not going to be able to say, well, hey, I'm a Christian. Doesn't the Bible say we need to take care of each other? Uh-uh. I'm not taking care of you're lazy. You're lazy behind. It's not happening. Hey, we're supposed to be a community. How come my needs are not being met? It says here in Acts, you know, there were no needy persons among them. You are misquoting the scriptures. Go read all that stuff in context. Those were people who had come for the feast. From far away. And so the Christians in Jerusalem, you know, they put in their money and they were taking care of everybody. It doesn't say they were just sitting there, just living off the other people. The Bible says you don't eat, you don't walk, you don't eat. There's no room for laziness anywhere. Amen? We all got to work for everything we've got. I had one brother say that to me many years ago, not here. You know, we're always giving him, you know, helping him with the benevolence thing. And I said, you know, bro, enough. He came and said, I need to talk to you. I said, what's up? Well, the church is no longer helping me. I said, how's the judge surgeon going? Well, this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, we've helped you a great deal. Well, the Bible says this. He actually opened up the scriptures. Oh, man, if I wasn't black, you would have seen me change color 3 times. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I let him finish and I said, you have no idea what these scriptures are talking about. I said, it's funny, you didn't quote this passage over here. And I came to Proverbs. He stopped coming to church after that. Because he was just leaving off of people. There's no room for laziness in the Bible, amen? Let's keep going. Now, I love the Proverbs because, believe it or not, a lot of cultures, they also have Proverbs. Okay? This is a nice Chinese proverb that I like. It says, if you are planning for a year, sow rice. If you are planning for a decade, plant trees. If you are planning for a lifetime, educate people. There's a lot of truth to that. Okay, that's not in the Bible. That's just a Chinese proverb. But the point is, cultures have borrowed this, the whole concept of having short, precise sayings that people can remember. Okay? And I think it's a good thing. When two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. That's one of my favorite ones. I always use it when I'm trying to get two people to reconcile. And then the second one is even better. It says, if you are missing your black goat, start your search during daylight. If you go on a rack like this, you're not going to find that thing. And here's some American ones. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Rome was not built in a day. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Necessity is the mother of invention. They're just proverbs. Now, those are not in the Bible, okay? You're not going to see them between now and December 31st, I promise you. But the point is, there are sayings that people have borrowed from after reading the Proverbs. So you know what? We got to incorporate this in our culture to help in a certain area. And there are tons of proverbs out there. Okay? If you like Chinese food like I do, usually when you go and they bring your bill, they'll give you a fortune cookie. And you crack that thing open. Okay, I no longer ate the cookie because the sugar is not good for me. But usually there's a little piece of paper in there. And a lot of them have Chinese proverbs in them. And I like to read them because it just helps me in terms of what other cultures are thinking. Because, you know, we also have our own proverbs in America. I also have mine in the African culture and the African context. And the point is, the little sayings that you and I can remember from the scriptures that helps us navigate through this life. That's what they're designed to do. Amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage us to continue to read them. You know, if you haven't started already, I encourage you to go start. You got 6 chapters to make up. Amen? Amen. And every day, just go through that chapter. And I promise you, by the end of the year, you're going to have some new favorites. Amen?
Amen?
Next Thursday night, we're going to be back in here. When we get here, we'll all come in here. We'll say thank you to all the people we need to say thank you to. And then we're going to head into the gym to go have fellowship and eat. And so when you come into church, whatever it is you bring, if you can just take it to the gym. And the sisters will be there, take it from you and set up the tables. And then you come in here. And so officially, this is going to be our last midweek lesson, because the last 2 midweeks of the month, we're not going to be having midweek service, okay? But we will meet every Sunday at Meadow Creek. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Bishop, could you come forward and lead us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your wisdom. We're grateful for your grace. We're grateful that you show us through your word and through our brothers and sisters a better way to live our lives. Father, a way that wouldn't come natural to us. Father, we're not going to find it on our own. Father, we need your wisdom. We thank you for the chance tonight to study it. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be devoted to it, to seek it out for the valuable asset that it is. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn to listen to it and to change and to follow it, to pattern our lives after the things that we read in your word. Father, we love you. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to build one another up in our fellowship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.